Good morning, Ascend Church. We invite you to stand with us while we get ready to give God praise this morning. I've started a trend in my life where I wake up every day and I tell myself why it's going to be a great day. Normally it's because, hey, you know, I'm going out with someone or having fun. Today I just said, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'll give him praise no matter the situation. He gave me breath in my body, in my lungs. So I'm going to give him praise this morning. I'm going to glorify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on. I want y'all to be loud and just loud. Come on. Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul. Hold this bag of bone. And I tried with all my might, and I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting. Oh, vagabond. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone. Because he picked me up, he turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Savior because he healed my heart, changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. And I cannot deny what I see. Got no choice but to. My doubts will burn, oh, like ashes in the wind. You gotta throw them up the peace sign. Come on. So long to my old friend. Hey, burden and bitterness. Just keep it moving. That's what you gotta tell them. No, you're not welcome here. Hey, from now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back. Oh, cause he picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name forever. I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God.
How many know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I want you to give him a shout of praise in this place. How many of you know that your soul is saved and redeemed? So guess what? That means hell lost another one. We're going to sing that. Come on.
Hell lost another one. I am free. I am.
That's what we declare. Come on.
I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. Oh,
sing it like you mean it. Come on.
Hell lost another one. I am free.
I'm free.
I am free.
I'm free.
I am free.
Hell lost another one. Because he picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. And I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart.
Come on.
He changed my name.
Hey.
Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Jesus Christ to save my soul. He has redeemed me from death, sin, and the grave. Come on. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. Okay? And like he told him, he told him, hey, speak to those dry bones. He said, get up. He spoke to those bones. He said, get up. So that's what he said to me. That's what we're going to declare.
Get up, get up, get up.
Come on.
Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Get up out of that grave.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Get up out of that grave.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Get up out of that grave.
Get up, get up, get up.
He's setting you free.
Get up, get up, get up.
He has called you redeemed.
Get up, get up, get up.
Oh, get up out of that grave.
Get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
If he did it for me, he can do it for you. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. Testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy that means what it did for another, he can do it again. He can do it again. The testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy that means what he did for another, he can do it again. He can do it again. He can do it again. Testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy that means what it did for me. He can do for you. Oh, get up, get up, get up. Hey,
get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Get up out of that. This is over things you thought had died. We're declaring right now in the name of Jesus. We're telling those things to get up, to live, to rise. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that is flowing in this place. Lord, we thank you that your spirit is flowing and flooding in this room. And I see things coming to pass that you thought you had counted out. But we're declaring, we're prophesying over these situations. Get up out of that grave. I hear that in my spirit. Get up out of that grave. Come on. Get up out of that grave. Get up out of that grave. A shout of praise in this place. There is liberty in this place. Come on, church. Come on, church. That's where you win your victory and your praise. That's where you win your victory and your praise. Hallelujah. Because he picked me up, turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Hallelujah!
Oh, shame is a prison, and it's cruel as a grave. Shame is the robber, and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power when my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Come on and sing it.
There ain't no between death and life, and there on a tree the Lamb of God was crucified. And he went on down to hell, and he took back every key. He rose up as a lion, and he said,
grave. Sing it out loud.
If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to.
You know it.
If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to.
Hey, hey.
If you walked walked out of the grave I'm walking to.
Gonna sing about it, yeah.
If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to.
Hey, hey.
If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to.
No grave. Just put your hands to the Lord and just say your prayers to this song and sing along with me. I know you guys know it. Yeah. Just lift your hearts and let everything that's inside of you that's worrying you, just let it go.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Come on, sing it with me. Here we go. All my life.
All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, and in darkest nights, you are close like no other. And I've known you as a father, and I know the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Oh, all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, of the goodness
So God, with every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
God is faithful, family. He's faithful to keep his promises and keep his word. Amen. Welcome to Ascend Church this morning. So glad you're here. This is a time in the service we're going to worship with one more song. But at this time, our prayer team are going to come to the front. And if there's anything that you have a need, you have something you're struggling with, you have something you want to pray about, just come on forward and we will pray with you while this song is going on. I want to tell you that what Jesus did, when you read the Gospels of his life, what he did when he walked the earth, he is still doing today. There are testimony after testimony of people that have come and petitioned the Lord, come before God, asked him, and seen incredible, life-altering, turnaround miracles. And so if there's anything, don't wait and let prayer be your last resort. Let it be your first response. Just come. Anything you're facing, you just feel free to come and we will agree with you in faith for God to turn your situation around. Amen. I want to pray over those that are watching. Welcome to Ascend Church this morning online. Right where you are, if you have a need, like I said, don't wait until you're desperate. Bring it to the Lord now. Father, I just release the healing power of God to flow into those that need healing. Father, I release freedom where there is a trouble in the home. Father, where there's restoration needed, I pray for your miraculous power to flood that home, to flood those relationships, to turn things around. Thank you that you are the miracle-working God today, yesterday, today, and forever. And we claim that right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to worship. You know, we started out those first two songs, we're singing about the things that God has done. That's how they used to do it. They would come into the temple of God. They'd come into the outer courts and they would sing about the things that God had done. And it makes you so happy. But then they would go into the holy place and begin to worship God from their heart. So worship God. Forget about people around you and just take these few minutes to just thank him and worship him for who he is. Amen. And if you need prayer, just step on forward and we'll pray with you.
Lord, we bless you in this place. We thank you for your anointing and your Holy Spirit that dwells amongst us right now, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you would make yourself more evident to us, God. We need you. We love you.
This is a house of worship. This is a place of praise where every demon trembles, where we proclaim your name. This is a house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention.
Depression.
shout out of praise. I want you to seal it with an amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord.
Those are fighting words. Those are words that unlock the miracles of God. Because as you stand here, says the Lord, many of you have circumstances that you don't know how to deal with in the natural. And you're doing everything you can and it is wearing you out. But do you know that I am still the God who heals, says the Lord? Do you know, do you actually know that I am still the God of miracles? And if you would lift your eyes, says the Lord, from where you are right now and begin to look to me, you would begin to see a miraculous change even on Monday, even this week, there'll be a miraculous change. Just take your eyes off of what you see in the natural. Turn your eyes onto what I can do, what I have done, what I've done in the past. Because in one move, I can turn your circumstance around, says the Lord. But what I'm looking for is I'm looking for a heart of faith. And so if you will lift your eyes from your circumstance, faith is triggered. Because you're no longer looking to your own ability, but you're looking to my ability. So I'm telling you right now by the Spirit to lift your eyes off of your circumstance. Lift your eyes off of your sickness. Lift your eyes off of the doctor's report. Lift your eyes off of what has happened and turn your eyes upon me, says the Lord, because you will be amazed. You are going to stand amazed. If you would just unlock my miracle working power, says the Lord, you are going to stand amazed and your friends are going to rejoice and your church is going to rejoice because they are going to see that you went from the natural and stretched your hand into the supernatural and you took from me what it is that I have for you. So right now where you are, whatever your circumstance, if it is healing you need, if it is peace you need, if it is freedom you need, if it is finances you need, just lift your hands symbolically. Lift your heart and say, Lord, I'm not depending on myself. Lord, I stretch a hand of faith to you and I receive everything that you have for me. I pull it down right now. I pull it right into the realm of the natural, out of the realm, by my faith. Say this, say, by my faith, I receive from the realm of the supernatural the things that God has promised me, and I pull them into the natural in the name of Jesus. Come on, thank God for that right now. Thank God for that right now.
I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. I still believe you're working. All things for good.
Taking the time to get aside from everything else and you just make that connection. You just make that connection. You just worship into his presence and you receive whatever it is that you need from him for that day, for this week. Amen. Praise God. I love being in church, don't you? Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them thank you for coming today and you may be seated. don't you just love the worship team and what they put into it? So good. Thank you. Thank you for leading us the way you do. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. How wonderful to see you this morning. So glad you are worshiping with us. We had a wonderful Easter last week. Many of you were able to bring members of your family, and that was such a great day. But I don't want to just be in church on Easter and Christmas. How about you? Every Sunday is when I want to be here. Welcome to those who are watching online. So glad you're participating in the service today. To those of our members that are still not back in church, if you're staying away for health reasons, completely understand it. But if you're staying away for any other reason, come back to church. Come back to church. We miss you. We love you. Can't wait to see you again. If you are visiting us for the first time today, we just want to welcome you. Don't want to embarrass you in any way. But if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can give you a gift bag where you're sitting? God bless you. Come on, family. Anybody else? We have a few. Thank you. Just get a gift bag to you. And we have a guest card. We ask you just take a moment and fill that out for us. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that card in. Gives the pastor an opportunity to call you. Please stay and say hi to us afterwards. We would appreciate it. And for those that are sitting here, we pass an attendance register. It just helps us to know who's here. We know if someone's missing, we can see if there's anything that they need. We don't want to miss anyone. It just helps us a lot pastorally. Our church texts once a week. It's 313131. Just dial just text the word ascend to that, and you'll get our weekly text. And then just to let you know, those that are watching on Facebook, check in. Let us know where you're watching from. We have people watch from all over. Some of the same names. We absolutely love it. I had some family members when I shared the Easter service last week. I had some distant family members watch the service. So you never know who's going to participate in church when you share it. So share Facebook Live. That's great. But if you're there, just let us know where you're watching from. You can like and share the Instagram, Facebook pages. It's all tools, family. This is church, but somehow the church has gone beyond the four walls, and it's online and it's on YouTube. It's very shareable. So go ahead and share that. You can watch on our website, ascendchurch.us. You can watch on our app. You can watch, like I said, YouTube. It's Ascend Church Jupiter. It's really easy to share those. I watch a lot of YouTube preaching, and I like that because it's right at your fingertips, right? And then there's Facebook, and then we have this service is recorded, and by our incredible media team, all volunteers. They do such a good job. You watch that on Fox 29 at 7:30 a.m. You watch it and you say, man, that must be a team of professionals. But there you go. All our faithful volunteers do such a good job, and we really appreciate it. I just want to let you know, remind you of our four main purposes of our church. It's the first one, to help you to know God. The message today will help you to know God better, right? Secondly, to find freedom. Third, to discover your purpose. And lastly, to make a difference with your life. Amen. My dear, thank you. I see those candles burning down. Is it at least?
Praise the Lord. Today is Pastor Jill's birthday today. You good? Thank you. Thank you, Samantha. So,
you could have used a cupcake, right?
Happy birthday to Pastor Jill today. We celebrate. We love Pastor Jill, don't we? And today is her birthday. On Friday was our son, Luke. It was his birthday on Friday, on the 9th. And then yesterday was our granddaughter, Olivia. She turned 2 yesterday. So we had birthday Friday, birthday Saturday, and then Pastor Jill, we kept the best for the last on Sunday. Yes. Thank you.
John set
Thank
off
you, Samantha.
I can set off smoke alarms if you put on We're the right sing. Amount of
Happy
candles
birthday
on
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Jill. Happy birthday to you. So it was my birthday. It was my birthday 5 weeks ago. So if you would like to give a gift to Pastor Jill, then on your seat there's a brightly colored envelope. Some of them are pink, some of them are yellow, some of them are green. And what we want to ask you to do is there's a card inside. Write your birthday message to Pastor Jill with your name. I know that I get a great amount of joy reading these birthday greetings. And then if you'd like to give a gift, you can give online at ascendchurch.us. There's actually a little category today that says Pastor Jill's birthday. So you could give online, you could give by credit card, whatever way you want to give, whatever you give to Pastor Jill, we want to be a blessing to her today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You look beautiful today in your new dress.
I don't like to, I feel very uncomfortable with, to be about somebody else.
Being in the center of attention, is that what you're saying?
It's been a very busy birthday week because Ashley behind the counter, that was her birthday this week, right? Yesterday. Miguel over there. Chris Birch over there. Pam Sayeg over here.
On Friday, right?
Anybody else had a birthday this week? It's like a real busy birthday week in this church. So happy birthday to everybody. And I just want to say that I'm thankful to God. God is faithful.
Yes.
I've proved it throughout my whole life, lifetime of serving Him from mm-hmm. the age of 15. He's always been faithful. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else pastoring any other church than this church. Wouldn't want to be married to any other man other than you.
Thank you.
I wouldn't want to live anywhere different than where we live, right? Is this paradise?
Yes.
So I'm grateful for another year.
Yes.
And Pastor Steve keeps saying, we're almost 60. I'm like, could you just let me be 57 before you make me 60?
3 years' time. I just can't believe I'm almost 60. I mean, I'm still wrapping my mind around a cherry. I still think I'm 25, you know. Yeah. Well, we love you. Oh, happy birthday. Good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me give that to you as well. Are you ready for God's word today? Didn't the worship team do a wonderful job today leading us in worship? Did a wonderful job. Really great. Praise God. Father, we thank you today for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you are for us. And Lord, we know that if you are for us, if God be for us, then what can stand against us? Lord, thank you today for your word. I know, Lord, that it is you've created us to be overcomers. And I pray, Lord, today that your word will strengthen us, that your word will give us understanding and revelation, and that our faith will rise up big today, Lord, as we hear your word. And I make it known that I'm not trusting in myself, Lord. I'm depending and trusting upon you to help me, enable me, speak through me today. And I'm careful, Lord, to give you alone the praise and the honor and the glory for everything that will be said or done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are you ready for God's word today? We always tell the Sunday right after Easter. That's when we find out who's really serious about the things of God, not who comes on Easter, but who comes the Sunday after Easter, right? I want to thank everyone who invited a guest today. Thank you if you invited a guest today. I really appreciate that. I want to encourage you all to, every week, to invite someone to church. We have those little black invitation cards. They're like a business card. It says you're invited. They're out there in the lobby. They're all over the counters. We put them out there so you take them. So you grab a few every week and invite someone to come to church next Sunday. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Because I'm believing, I see this place is filled up. I see every seat filled up. In the name of Jesus, I declare every seat is filled up. In fact, we have to have two services on Sunday, and they are both filled. In fact, we're going to have three services on Sunday, and I see every seat filled. Will you agree with me in faith? Are we trusting God together to reach more people for the Lord? Amen. Well, praise God. Hi, I'm Steve Barry, and I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. And if you live anywhere near Jupiter, I want to invite you. We would love to have you come visit our church. I promise you, we have the friendliest people. They'll make you feel so welcome, and your kids will have a lot of fun at our Ascend Kids Church. So we really hope to see you soon, don't we, everybody? Now, today I want to speak to you about the overcomer's attitude. And somebody asked me, what does that mean, the overcomer's attitude? It means that every one of us faces challenges and difficulties and setbacks, disappointments. We all have things that come against us. But God did not create us to be overcome. He created us to be the overcomer. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 4, it says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. The Passion Bible says, our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. Your faith enables you to overcome no matter what you may be facing. The New Living Bible says we achieve this victory through our faith. Notice our faith is what makes us overcomers. And faith is simply trusting God, trusting His Word, believing His promises. You see, our attitude toward our problems is what's important. We've got to have the attitude of an overcomer. We've got to think like an overcomer. You see, what do we do when a situation is not working out and maybe it's been going on month after month after month? It's so tempting to get negative and start expecting the worst. Or maybe, you know, you got a negative medical report. Or maybe your child got in trouble. You know, our mind often starts playing out all the worst case scenarios of what's going to happen. It's easy to get down and discouraged. If you go around thinking it's never going to get any better, that really limits what God can do in your life. Like my wife said earlier, God's looking for faith. See, when we face difficulties and we have the overcomer's attitude, we know God is bigger than any problem that we may face. We know God already has a way out. And we fight the good fight of faith. That's what allows God to show up and turn that negative situation around in our favor. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Say, he who is in me is greater than anything I'll face in life. Greater is he who is inside you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse number 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. The New Living Bible says, no weapon that is turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. One of the benefits that you have as a child of God is that nothing that comes against you can succeed. No weapon formed against you can prosper. It says, their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. And in another version, the contemporary English version says, weapons made to attack you won't be successful. Words spoken against you won't hurt you at all. I, the Lord, promise to bless you with victory. There's a promise from God. God says, I promise to bless you with victory. Amen. I want you to see you got a heritage. You have rights and privileges because you belong to Christ. When you chose Jesus, God put a bloodline around you that the enemy cannot cross. As long as you're keeping God first place in your life and walking in faith, let me tell you, you have a hedge of protection. You have a hedge of favor. You have a hedge of mercy surrounds you like a shield. And when difficulties come, and at times maybe it looks like it's never going to get better, God is saying to you, because you're His child and because you honor Him, even though that problem may have formed against you, in the end, it's not going to succeed. When it's all said and done, it's not going to harm you. God's going to turn it around and He's going to use it to your advantage. That doesn't mean that we're never going to have a problem. Life is full of difficulties. But the promise God is making us here is when things do come against us, if our child gets in trouble or we have a negative medical report or people talking behind our back, God says the problem may form. You can't stop that from happening. But because you're in covenant with Him, you can stay in peace. You can know that it will not succeed. It's part of your heritage. It's a benefit as a child and servant of the Lord. Romans 8 verse 37 tells us, yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all, for God has made us to be more than conquerors. Say, God made me to be more than a conqueror. Say, God made me to be an overcomer. The Bible says God made us to be more than conquerors. And He's demonstrated love as our glorious victory over everything. Let me tell you, say, you've got victory in your DNA. The mistake we often make is we don't know who we are. We don't know what really belongs to us. So when a problem arises, we get all down. We go around complaining, expecting the worst. And all that does is stop God from being able to work in our life. See, you have to be in faith if you want to activate God's promises. Faith is the victorious power that overcomes. When difficulties come your way and you are tempted to be upset, you've got to keep on reminding yourself, this is not going to succeed against me. They may be talking about me. It may look bad, but I know God is my vindicator. He's going to take care of them. My child may be on the wrong path, may be running with the wrong crowd, but let me tell you, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The medical report maybe looks discouraging, but I'm not worried. I know the Lord is my healer. He created my body, and He said He'd restore my health, and He'd satisfy me with a long life. Can you say amen? Amen. You've got to keep on reminding yourself that problem didn't come to stay. That problem came to pass. Amen. It might have formed. I can't stop it from coming, but I don't have to get worried. I know God is still on the throne. And He promised it's not going to succeed against me. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Tell your neighbor, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank Him for all that He has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. You, instead of worrying, pray, and then you'll experience the peace of God. If you're going to overcome, you've got to pray. Let me tell you, worry is an enemy to your faith. Worry will hinder your faith from working. If you want to overcome, you must not fall into the trap of worry. To stay in faith, you've got to rest in God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 3, only we who believe can enter into His rest. And the Passion Bible says, for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest. You see, you always can tell when you are really trusting God and you're in faith because you're in rest. You're not worried, you're not anxious, you just have this confident calmness. You know that God's taking care of it. That's what Moses told the Israelites when they came to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was chasing after them. Moses told them in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He's going to accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians which you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You see, if you want God to fight for you, you got to hold your peace. What does that mean? The New Living Translation says just stay calm. You see, being in peace is staying calm. It's not worrying. It's not being fearful. It's just you calmly trusting and resting that God is taking care of this. Let me tell you, it was not a surprise for God when they came to the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was chasing after them. I love to think about the fact that God is in control of everything. God is even in control of our enemies. Did you know that? God even controls your enemies. The scripture says this about Pharaoh. It says in Exodus 9 verse 12 that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And just as the Lord had predicted to Moses, Pharaoh refused to listen. Remember that God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Remember that? And then God, the Bible says, then God hardened Pharaoh's heart and caused Pharaoh to be difficult. So Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. He refused to let the people go. Why did God do that? Because God wanted to display his mighty power. Let me tell you, God is, if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't have the story about the Red Sea parting. God controls your enemies. That means there's no person who can keep you down. There's no sickness that is too great. There is no trouble. There is no calamity that can keep you from living in ultimate victory. We are in a fixed fight, family. The outcome has already been determined. God always causes us to triumph. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Say, God always causes me to triumph. The contemporary English version says, God always makes it possible for Christ to lead us in victory. You see, God had the solution before we even had the problem. God had the way out before we even encountered the difficulty. God, let me tell you, he has it all arranged. He promised if we'll just stay in faith, no weapon formed against us will ever succeed. And some of you right now, you're in a difficult time. You're facing a challenge. You've convinced yourself it's never going to get any better. It's never going to work out. But if you could only see, let me tell you right up ahead of you, God's got great things in store for you. Instead of dragging around thinking, I don't think I'm ever going to get out of this mess, you need to have the mindset, this is my heritage. This is a benefit as a child of God. This problem may have formed, but it's not going to succeed. If God is for me, who dare stand against me? That's what it says in Romans 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Say, God is for me. Who can be against me? The Message Bible says it like this: with God on our side, how can we lose? How can I lose? God is on my side. See, you got to have this attitude of faith. You got to know deep down in here that ultimately it's going to work out to your advantage. It may take a month, it may take a year, it may take 10 years, but when it's all said and done, God promised you're going to come out of it better off than what you were before. And sometimes we're having problems because of, you know, we've done something wrong. We made a bad choice. But other times we're having difficulties because we're doing something right. You see, when you determine to fulfill your God-given destiny and you're taking steps to improve your life and make a difference in your family, make a difference in your community, don't be surprised if you face opposition. The enemy's not going to just, you know, roll out the red carpet and let you fulfill your God-given destiny and walk in all the blessings of God. So when you face difficulties, don't automatically assume that you're doing something wrong and get all discouraged and down. It could very well be it's because you're doing something right. The Apostle Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 9. He said, there's an amazing door of opportunity that is standing wide open for me to minister, even though there are many who oppose and stand against me. See, Paul said, there's an amazing door of opportunity, even though there are people opposing me. You see, anytime you try to move forward in your life, anytime you try to make progress, there will be opposition. Don't get discouraged by opposition. Don't give up on your dreams because things are coming against you. Let me tell you, it may be taking a longer than you thought, but stay in faith. It's not over till God says it's over. And the good news is God is still on the throne. And even when it looks impossible, he can still make a way, even when we don't see a way. Amen. The fact of the matter is those difficult times are a time of testing. That's where we show God what we're made of. That's when our character is being developed. Anybody can get discouraged and give up and quit believing. Let me tell you, anyone can do that. But if you're going to become everything that God has created and destined you to be, you've got to have a deep resolve. You can't be moved by every criticism and by every disappointment and every unfair situation. You've got to make up your mind that you're in it for the long haul. And I don't care if it takes a year or 5 years or 20 years, man, I'm going to stick with it and see my dreams come to pass. If you're going to be an overcomer, let me tell you right now, you cannot quit. You must not quit. Romans 12, verse 12, it says, don't give up in a time of trouble. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. It ain't over. 2 John, verse 8 says, persevere until you win. Galatians 6, verse 9 says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You see, if you want to reap that harvest of blessing God has for you, you got to determine you're not going to give up no matter what. You're not going to quit no matter what. David said it like this in Psalm 27, verse 14. David said, here's what I'll learn through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be brave, be courageous, and never lose hope. Keep on waiting, for He will never disappoint you. I learned, this is what I learned through it all. Don't give up. He will never disappoint you. I never seen the righteous forsaken. I never seen his seed begging for bread. Even, let me tell you, even when we make mistakes and we bring trouble on ourselves, God is so merciful. He'll still bring us out of it. I mean, think about Jonah. God told Jonah, go preach in Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah went in the opposite direction to Nineveh. He completely disobeyed God. He got on a big ship. They got in a storm. He ended up being thrown overboard. I mean, he should have drowned. It would have been his own fault. It would have been his own choices. But God is so good and God is so merciful. He had a great fish waiting for Jonah. I mean, he had a Uber waiting for Jonah back in the day, man. He was swallowed by the great fish. He spent 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish. The problem had definitely formed. But thank God, it was still not going to prosper. And God not only turned it around for Jonah, God not only gave Jonah another chance, and Jonah repented. The fish took him to Nineveh. He got up and he preached, and the whole city repented and came to God. But God also used Jonah as an example to show how prophecy would be fulfilled. Jesus himself said in Matthew 12, verse 40, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Think about it. Jonah was running from God and he landed in that fish, and Jesus used that as an example of that he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. In other words, even though Jonah went wrong, God turned it around and still made it right and used it as a prophecy about Jesus. You may have made some bad choices. Maybe you don't feel like you deserve God's goodness. You think you're supposed to suffer through life and you're supposed to just endure that problem and just barely make it through. But let me tell you, this is what the mercy of God is all about, because we've all made mistakes. We've all made choices like Jonah, but that doesn't change our heritage. God doesn't kick us out the kingdom because we're not perfect. You're still the apple of God's eye. You're still His most prized possession. You know how you activate God's promises and God's power in your life? By believing with your faith. You got to shake off the guilt and shake off the condemnation and put your shoulders back and say, I refuse to live below my privileges. I may not be perfect, but I am forgiven. I may have made mistakes and wrong choices, but God knows my heart is to please Him. And even though I brought this trouble on myself, I'm going to stay in faith, and I'm going to expect God to turn it around for me. I'm going to expect God to take what the enemy meant for my harm and turn it to my advantage. Can you say amen? You may say, Pastor Steve, you don't know the mistakes that I've made. You don't know the things that are coming against me. You don't know how in debt I am. I may not know any of that, But I do know our God, and I do know that He's bigger than anything that you may be facing in your life, and He can turn any situation around. In the Old Testament, one angel destroyed 187,000 of the enemies of God. One angel destroyed 187,000. And right now, there's a whole army of the most powerful forces in the universe that are backing you up in the name of Jesus. When you release your faith, by believing, by expecting, calling on the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, all the forces of heaven, they stand to attention. Not because of how perfect you've lived. It's not because of who you are. It's because of whose you are. This Psalm 107 verse 20, it says, His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. The Passion Bible says, who listen intently to the voice of His word to do it. Do you know that the angels of God bring God's word to pass? And do you know that the angels of God are listening for God's word? And when you declare and speak God's word out of your mouth, do you know that they go to bring it to pass and to back up what you said? They hearken unto the voice of the word of God. They go and do what God's word says. And when you declare God's word over your life, the angels will come and bring it to pass. I heard a story about a baby bear. This baby bear was out in the woods playing. Suddenly, a huge lion approached from the distance, slowly started walking toward the baby bear. The little cub was terrified, couldn't even move. He just stood there staring at this lion. When the lion was about 20 feet away, just as that lion was about to attack, suddenly that lion froze in its tracks, started backing up. Then it turned around and went away. The little cub thought, man, I must be pretty powerful. I must look pretty impressive to scare away that big lion. But what the cub didn't realize is Mama Bear had walked up behind the cub. The lion wasn't afraid of the cub. The lion was afraid of who's backing up the cub. You need to realize who's backing you up. The creator of the universe is on your side. The God who spoke the world into existence. He's called the Great I Am. And He's saying to you today, I'm everything you need. I am your strength. I am your wisdom. I'm your protection. I'm your provider. I'm your way maker. I'm your problem solver. I'm your dream giver. I am your victory. I'm everything that you need. David said it like this in Psalm 138. He said, though I am surrounded by troubles, you will bring me safely through them. You will clench your fist against my angry enemies. Your power will save me. The Lord will work out His plans for my life. The Lord will work out His plans for my life. His power will save me. See, some of you, you feel like David today. You feel like you're surrounded by so many difficulties. You're tempted to give up and just settle where you are. But you need to get your enthusiasm back. Because even though that problem may have formed, even though it looks impossible, you need to start declaring all through the day, this problem is not going to prosper. God is bringing me safely through this. His fists are clenched against my enemies. He's fighting my battles. His power will save me. The Lord is working out His plans for my life in the name of Jesus. See, you've got to have that attitude of faith, the attitude of an overcomer. I've learned not to get discouraged by opposition. Don't get discouraged when you face difficulty, when things come against you. Often it's because God has something great in store for you. I mean, think about the three Hebrew young men, we call them teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's golden idol. He got so mad, so furious, he told them, heat up the furnace 7 times more than normal. See, that's what happens when you're close to a great victory in your life. The fire gets turned up. People start talking about you. Unfair situations come against you. You get past one obstacle and something else pops up. Why is that? The enemy knows you're close to your victory. And that's when so many people give up and they get sour. They stop coming to church, go around complaining. Why is that? They don't know who they are. They don't know their heritage. Part of the privileges as children of the Most High God is when problems come and life feels overwhelming, God promised He will always be there to safely bring us through it. Amen? Amen. I love the fact that these three young men didn't panic. They weren't fearful. They weren't full of anxiety. They were in peace. They had the overcomer's attitude. Look what they said in Daniel 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not worried about what will happen to us. If we're thrown into the flaming furnace, our God is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O Majesty. We're not worried what's going to happen to us. We know our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us out of your hand. You see, in times of difficulty, it's so important what you are saying. If you're going to overcome, you've got to speak words of faith. Are you with me? David knew the importance of speaking his faith. When David went out to face Goliath, it's interesting, David never called him a giant. Everybody else around David spoke about Goliath. His brothers were talking about how big he was, how powerful he was. But David didn't acknowledge any of that. He didn't want to give him any extra credit. You know what David said? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What is he saying? He was saying, this man's not in covenant with God. God's not on his side. He doesn't have the advantages that we have. The Lord is our God. I know who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. I've got a covenant with God. He's on my side. I know when I call on the name of the Lord, all the forces of heaven back me up. David knew it wasn't the size of the enemy that matters. It's the size of our God. And our God is all powerful. David had the overcomer's attitude. See, don't talk about the size of your problem. Talk about the size of your God. David looked at Goliath. He didn't say, man, Lord, help me. Look how big he is, Lord. He's 10 feet tall. Help me, Lord. Look at the size of this guy. Help me. No, you know what David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17? He said, you come at me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He said, this day the Lord will deliver you in my hand. And I will strike you and I'll take your head from you. I'm going to cut your head off today. And this day I'm going to give the carcasses of the camp of Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly will know the Lord does not save with sword and with spear, for the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hands. I mean, you talk about words of faith. You talk about someone being positive. He didn't say, oh, I sure hope so, Lord. I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight Goliath, Lord, and I don't know what's going to happen. Whatever, God, Lord, if it's your will for me to win, then I'll win. David didn't do that. He just spoke out in faith. David defeated Goliath because of his faith in God, because of the words of faith that he spoke. I want you to have this overcomer's attitude. When things come against you, it may be difficult, but God never promised us a problem-free life. The key is in the tough times when difficulties arise, don't expect it to defeat you. Don't expect the worst. Keep on reminding yourself, this problem may have formed, but it's not going to prosper against me. God, I know even though this problem's formed against me, I know it's not going to succeed. Even though it looks impossible, I know, Lord, that you can do the impossible. I'm not going to sit around worried in defeat. I'm going to stay in faith. I'm going to keep believing my best days are still in front of me. Amen. Am I talking to the right people here today? Did I come to the right church here today? Have the attitude of an overcomer. Joshua and Caleb, they had that attitude. Joshua and Caleb, after God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, and they stood at the edge of the promised land, God told them, go take possession of the land. I've already given it to you. But everyone else, when they looked at the giants, they looked at the walled cities, they said, we can't take the land. The people are much stronger than we are. We look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. But Joshua and Caleb, they said in Numbers 13, verse 30, let's go up at once and let's take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. We're well able to overcome it. Come on, let's go right now, man. We can take this promised land. And do you know the people didn't listen to Joshua and Caleb? They listened to the negative report. And they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. But Joshua and Caleb were the exception. Joshua and Caleb did overcome the promised land. They had to wait 40 years. But everybody else who said they couldn't do it, they didn't overcome. They died in the wilderness. See, if you're going to be an overcomer, you must speak words of faith. If you want to overcome that problem, you got to speak words of faith. Yeah. Revelation 12, verse 11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Proverbs 12, verse 6 says the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Say, my deliverance is in my mouth. Say, my miracle is in my mouth. The mouth of the upright will deliver them. Your words can either bind you or deliver you. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 says you're trapped by your own words. You see, your words will either trap you or your words will deliver you, depending on what you're saying. If you say, well, I'm telling you, I'm so afraid, I'm going to get COVID, I'm going to die, I'm going to lose my business, it's going to happen, you're saying the wrong thing. You need to be declaring the words that will deliver you. Your words can either deliver you or they can defeat you. Let me tell you one of the most powerful statements I ever heard in my life, Pastor Theo. He said, God cannot do more for you than your words allow him. Let me say it again. God cannot do more for you than what your own words are allowing you to. See, if you're going to overcome that obstacle, don't speak about it, speak to it. Don't talk about how big it is and how bad it is. Talk about how big God is. What happened to the fiery furnace trio? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I kind of left them hanging. Did you forget about them? They said, our God will deliver us. Our God will deliver us. Remember that? The Bible says they bound them up with ropes. They threw them in the furnace. The flames killed the soldiers who threw them in. It was so hot. The soldiers who threw them in got too close. They died. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're thrown in the burning fiery furnace. It says in Daniel 3, verse 24, King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose in haste, and he spoke, and he said to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They said, yes, king, true king. He said, look, I see four men. They're loose. They're walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God. He sure changed his tune. He said, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego came out from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the king's counselors, they gathered together. They saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, and their garments were not even affected. The smell of fire wasn't on them. They didn't even smell like smoke. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, and he said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's words and not yielded their bodies. They should not serve or worship any god except their own God. He said, therefore, I make a decree that any people, any nation, any language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made of ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's no God who delivers like our God. You may feel like you're in the fire today. Feel like the heat's being turned up. Feel like things just, everything seems to be coming against you. Let me encourage you today. You came to the right place today. The reason is there's something great up in store in front of you. Because when the heat gets turned up, it means you're close to your breakthrough. If you'll stay in faith, let me tell you, God will do for you what he did for them. He'll bring you through the fire without even having the smell of smoke. Let me tell you, there is another one in the fire with you, and his name is Jesus. And this may sound odd, but you can even get to the point where when opposition comes, when difficulty comes, instead of being discouraged by it, you're actually encouraged by it, because you just turn it around. And you say, God's taking me to new levels. I know favor, increase, promotion. It must be on the way. That's why I'm in the fire right now, because there's a great breakthrough right up ahead of me. James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. Are you kidding me, Pastor Steve? I'm supposed to be joyful when I'm facing difficulties? Yes, that's exactly what God is saying. For why? For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And as your endurance grows, even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and there is nothing lacking. The Bible says when you face trouble, see it as an opportunity to be joyful. See every difficulty as an opportunity for God to bring another victory in your life. In fact, the message, Isaiah 54 verse 17, we started out with it earlier. I want to read it from the Message Bible. It says, if anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. And if any should attack, nothing will come of it. I create the blacksmith who fires up his forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. I also create the destroyer. He said, but no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. God's decree. You got a promise from God. He said, I'll see to it that everything works out for your best. Can you say amen? See, God is in complete control. There's nothing that's ever been created that He's not bigger than, that He's not greater than. There's no problem too large. There's no sickness too great. There's no enemy too powerful. So when difficulties come your way, instead of getting discouraged, you got to know this. God didn't send it. Don't go around complaining, expecting the worst. Rather expect that God will see to it that everything works out for your best. Some of you, you're so concerned about a situation right now, but if you come back to that place of peace and back to that place of faith, God is saying, nothing's going to come of it. Nothing's going to come of it. He always causes you to triumph. He'll see to it that everything works out for the best. This is what we can expect as God's children. What are we supposed to expect when we face difficult times? Are we supposed to expect that it'll defeat us, that it'll never work out? No. Are we supposed to expect that our family will never be restored? Are we supposed to expect we're not going to have a good year? No. Get in agreement with God. Start expecting God to change things in your favor. Start expecting God to show up and fight your battles for you. Amen. Have the overcomer's attitude like David had. We see it in so many of the Psalms that David wrote. David knew the power of praise. You know that? Praise is another weapon of the overcomer. Psalm 51, verse 15. David said, I will overcome with my joyous praise. I will overcome. Come on, say, I will overcome with my joyous praise. Psalm 149, verse 6. God's high and holy praises fill their mouths, for their shouted praises are their weapons of war. Do you know that you have a mighty weapon? It's called praise. Do you know that praise is a mighty weapon of war? There's so many examples in the Bible where people overcame impossible obstacles as they gave praise to God. God did a miracle. When Joshua and the Israelites overcame Jericho, Jericho was surrounded by these huge walls, and they walked around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they walked around seven times, and then they let out a huge shout of praise. And the Bible says in Joshua 6, verse 20, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. And then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I want to tell you, family, praise is a powerful weapon. I will overcome, David said, with my praises. When Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, was surrounded by three armies, the Bible says he put the singers out of the front of the army, and they went marching into battle, singing, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 22, the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the moment they began to give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir, and they killed every one of them. And then after they destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw, they just saw dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. God fought their battle. It was an impossible situation. They were surrounded by three armies. But as they began to give, the moment they gave praise to God, God began to fight their battle for them. God began to deliver them. Amen. In the New Testament, Paul and Silas, when they've been arrested, they were thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. The Bible says in Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night. And they sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. And suddenly a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. And all at once, every prison door flung open. And the chains of every prisoner fell off as they gave praise to God. Let me tell you, God responds to praise, family. Praise demonstrates your faith in God. Praise is your weapon of war. Psalm 8 verse 2 says, praise has power to shut Satan's mouth. Childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. Let me tell you, you want to shut the devil up? Start praising God, man. Nothing shuts him up quicker than giving praise and thanks and worship to the Lord, man. That drives the devil nuts. If you want to give the devil a heart attack, just start praising God. It panic busts and start getting pushed in hell when you give praise unto God. Amen. If you want to overcome every difficulty, give praise to God. Some of you, you've had more than your share of difficulties, but you need to get a fresh vision for your life today. You need to start seeing yourself as set on high, seeing yourself as an overcomer. You need to know the forces that are for you are much greater than the forces that are against you. You have an advantage. Almighty God is on your side. Right now, He's protecting you. He's going before you. He's making the crooked places straight. His favor surrounds you like a shield. That problem might have formed against you, but I declare by faith, it's not going to succeed. In the name of Jesus, in the end, you're going to come out better off than what you were before. Don't worry, worship. Don't worry, worship. Hold on to your faith. Stand on the promises of God. Don't quit. Expect God to deliver you. Speak words of faith. The mouth of the upright will deliver them. Amen. Let me speak it over every one of you in the name of Jesus. I declare in the name of Jesus, you will defeat every enemy. You will overcome every obstacle. I declare God is fighting for you. Every dream, every desire God placed within you, it will come to pass. God will protect you. God will supply all your needs. God is leading you into triumph. In the name of Jesus, you have God's favor surrounding you. Whatever you touch, it will prosper. Greater is He that is in you. If God be for you, who can stand against you? Amen. And as for you and your family, you will serve the Lord. You will see God honor you. You will see God set you on high, and you will live a long, satisfied life. I declare it in the name of Jesus. Do you receive it today? Give God thanks and praise. Come on, give Him thanks and praise if you believe it today. Tell your neighbor, you're looking at an overcomer. Tell him. Turn to the person on the other side. I'm an overcomer. My faith is what enables me to overcome. Amen. You're an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror. Isn't that right? Well, I don't know about you, but I preached myself happy today. Tom. I'm glad I came to church today. Not just because it's Pastor Joe's birthday. I'm glad I came to church today because I hear the Word of God today, to be built up today. Amen. I'm looking at a group of overcomers here today. Amen. When you face trouble, when it seems like there's nothing but trouble, what does the Bible say? Use it as an opportunity to have the greatest joy, because you know it's another chance for God to bring a victory in your life. You know, there's no victory without a battle. There's no testimony without a test. There's no message without a mess. We all love the victories, but we don't always love the... But you got to know the battle is the Lord. The victory is mine. I just rest. I don't worry. I worship. I speak words of faith. I let God do what I can't do. Amen. Did you get something out of this today? Why don't you bow your head for a moment? Thank you, Pastor Jill. Just bow your head for a moment, everybody. Just remain still. I want to pray while heads are bowed, while eyes are closed. We never, ever close the service at Ascend Church without giving people opportunity to make sure that everything is right, everything is well between you and the Lord. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if everything is right between you and the Lord, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, that you know for certain, that heaven is where you would spend eternity? I said, if you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that heaven is where you would spend eternity? Because let me tell you the good news. The good news is you can know that. You can walk out of here today knowing that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can walk out of here today knowing that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven, it's washed away. You can walk out of here today knowing that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, I ask you right now, just slip your hand up high. Just lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included. Just put it up. Slip it up high now. Say, here's my hand, Pastor Steve. Pray for me. Is there anyone that has their hand up? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. I see hands being raised. If you're not sure what would happen to you if you died today, you should put your hand up. Let me pray. Because when you walk out of here, you will be sure. I want to ask everyone who raised their hand to please say this prayer. In fact, church, can we all please say this prayer together? The scripture says in Romans 10 in verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you have peace with God, is by believing that Jesus took your sin, that he rose from the dead, and confessing him as Lord. So say this with me. Say, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you came to this earth and you died on a cross. You took my sin. And your word says that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I will be saved. I do this today. I believe with all my heart, Jesus, you are alive. And I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. Say this. Say, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to thank everyone who invited someone to come to church. You know that if we want to see people receive the Lord, you've got to invite them. If you invite and bring people, I'm telling you right now, I believe they will receive the Lord. I give an opportunity every Sunday for people to receive the Lord. And so if you'll bring them, they'll have that opportunity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, after service, we're having some birthday cake out there. And
there's a lot of cake to eat.
All right. We can do it.
Praise God. That was a great message. Amen. Built my faith. Built my faith. This is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And then we're going to close the service and go and have a wonderful afternoon. But the way we do it in our churches, we always want to follow the word of God. We don't just do something because it's just like a habit or ritual, unless it ties in with the word of God. So I like to read a couple of scriptures, but I tell you there's various ways to give. Thank you to those who've given online already. There are a number of people that give reoccurring giving. It's real easy to set up. To those that are watching online, it's easy for you. There's a link on our website, ascendchurch.us. You can give. For those of you sitting here, there's envelopes in the seats right there. There's my favorite is texting. You just text the number that you want to give. But I just want to read three verses. Jesus said this. He was teaching
teaching the people in Luke chapter 16, and he said, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? He said, no one can serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Jesus really made things clear, right? He was one of the things he was a teacher. And he was always teaching the people about how God saw things. And here he talks about faithfulness. And you know, we've all been given. You know, we come into this earth, we have nothing, but we are given certain things by God. We're given talents, gifts. Some of you, I mean, when I hear Monique sing or Leslie or anyone, just that gift is there. You're born with it. You're given certain things. You're given, we have resources in our lives, and they come from God. And the Bible, Jesus said, we are stewards or managers over whatever he gives us. And he's telling us to be faithful. But, you know, he narrows it down. Sometimes when you hear people talk about this, they always talk about, well, you know, use your talent or help other people or whatever. But he narrows it down and he talks about money. He says it in verse 11. You know, he says, I'm talking about money here. You can't serve both God and money if you're not faithful with worldly wealth. You know, to humans, worldly wealth is like a big thing. To God, it's a small thing, right? It's all fading away. So he's saying, I'm testing your faithfulness in the worldly wealth, the things you have. So that means that if I'm faithful to tithe, the first 10 cents on every dollar that I get, just like God's word says, that's being faithful in little things. And the Bible, Jesus said it here. He said, that will bring you increase. It'll bring you more. There'll be more that comes to you. Why? Because you can be entrusted with more. So I just encourage you to be faithful. Be faithful. You know, sometimes people think, well, if I won the lotto, people not just think it, they say it. If I won the lotto, I'd give God $1 million. Let me tell you, God just wants 10 cents on a dollar, right? He'll take the million if you got the 10 million. He doesn't mind that, but the faithfulness is what matters to God. So anyway, thank you for your giving. Thank you for your faithfulness. Go ahead and prepare yourself, and I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for every person, man, woman, child, family represented here, for every faithful giver to this church, every faithful servant of yours, Father, people that can be trusted. Thank you for bringing increase in their lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and receive that. Thank you, ushers.
Amen. Praise God. I want to remind everyone that this Wednesday night, we're having a special service. We're calling that double feature service because I'm going to preach two sermons. Each will be 30 minutes each. So I'm going to speak about the restoration mentality and choose faith instead of fear. We're going to be filming it, but we'll start at 7. We'll finish by 8:30, 7 to 8:30, maybe even earlier, because I'm just going to speak. We're not going to do announcements or anything like that. We're going to have two songs from the worship team, and then we'll get straight into to the teaching. So I really want to encourage you. I hope you'll come out on Wednesday night. I think it's going to be a great time on Wednesday night. I sure would appreciate you all being here. Pastor Alan Bagg and Janine Bagg have asked me to speak at the annual conference that they have every year, but they've asked me to do it online. And this, Pastor Alan and Janine are in Cape Town, South Africa, and they have a church of about 8,000 people with 5 different campuses. And they've asked me to speak at their conference online. And so I'm going to use one of the sermons on Wednesday is going to go to South Africa, and it's going to really go around the world because he's on TV across Africa, 11 million people that I think are able to see it or something like that. But Anyway, so Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, I really hope that you'll come and join us for our double feature service. I want to say thank you to all of our volunteers who served, our servant leaders who served in God's house today, in the media, the kids' church, the ushers, the greeters. Why don't you give them a big round of applause? We appreciate them. The worship team, thank you so much. Come on, let's stand up together as we get ready to go today. What are we singing today as we go home?
I thank God.
I thank God. That's right.
Because He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Because He healed my heart, changed my name forever. Savior, I thank God.
We love you so much. We'll see you next Sunday. Travel safe.